Probably.
Could be a short meeting if it's only you and me deciding.
Yeah.
Are we good?
Hold on to your seats.
The Wednesday, February 20th, 2008 meeting of the Public Safety Budget Division is called to order. We have a couple of items on the agenda today. First, we're going to hear from Senator Dahl, Senate File 2338. And members, this was a bill that kind of got lost in the ozone for a while and didn't get referred to our committee so that we could have the discussion when we had our other bonding proposals. And so we decided we'd have a hearing on this one this afternoon before we started discussing our priorities list for sending off to the bonding committee. So we have Senator Dahl, and he has a couple of folks here from Dakota County to talk to us about their proposal. Go ahead, Senator Dahl.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you very much for giving us the allowance here to come in here this today. We've got a very important project in Dakota County that we're seeking some state support on. And the list of items, this ranks right up near the top for Dakota County, and it's a regional asset. This last year, we opened up in December a Dakota County a call center that's consolidated a lot of the call centers around the region and down in Empire Township. And now we're looking at moving on to the next phase, which is the Public Safety Center, Technology Center. And I've brought with me a couple of folks to talk about this, so what I'd like to do is turn this over to Commissioner Schuweiler to kind of explain what we're doing and what they envision for this, and so we can answer some questions through her.
Okay, thank you. Welcome, Commissioner.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. I'm Nancy Schuweiler, Chair of the County Board of Commissioners in Dakota County. The Dakota County Public Safety Technology and Support Center proposal is unique among the Public Safety Center proposals that you've been hearing about. It is a center for the development and application of technology in law enforcement. It builds on the successful initiatives that we have developed in Dakota County and proposes to make them better and more available for regional and statewide law enforcement. Before I tell you the specifics of our proposal, I want to point out how our facility will address the recommendations of the 1999 study and statewide master plan for law enforcement training facilities. The study specifically recognizes the need for computer training on the range of systems used by peace officers. This training requires access to computer workstations with the appropriate software. The study also indicates training both fire and law enforcement agencies will require greater use of technology in the future. According to the study, the location of the public safety training facility should ensure cost-efficient, easy access for users, and maximum use of the facility while capitalizing on existing infrastructure and other capital investments where possible. In addition, a recommended component for the facility would be the number of potential users within 20, 50, and 100 miles of the site, and the distance that the departments are expected to travel to receive this training. Lastly, the report states additional consideration for funding should be given to facilities with collaborative ownership or operation among federal, state, and local agencies to maximize cost efficiency and use. The Dakota Public Safety Technology and Support Center is the second project to come out of our Dakota County's high potential partnership collaboration with our 11 major cities, the first project being the Dakota Communications Center, which was the result of consolidating six public safety answering points into one dispatch center while converting to 800 megahertz. In addition, the center will advance our established collaboration with these same 11 cities in delivering electronic records, electronic briefings for officers throughout the county, as well as sharing probation information through our Criminal Justice Information Integration Network, also known as CGIN. We have the support of our 11 major cities in the development of the Public Safety Technology Support Center. This facility would be home to our CGIN staff, support services for 800 megahertz, a computer forensics laboratory designed to assist law enforcement in dealing with the rising wave of computer-related crime and technology-related evidence. And most importantly, this facility would be the home to the only training and classroom space for cooperative programs and training in the use of technology in law enforcement and dispatch services. Also housed at the center would be the County Drug Task Force, SWAT team, and the Special Operations Team equipment. All of these public safety and law enforcement units involve officers from governmental units throughout our county. Dakota County has the land available next to the Dakota Communications Center, realizing a public safety campus. It is located in Empire Township, the center of the county. It is in close proximity to the entire metropolitan area and is easily accessible, approximately 5 miles off of Highway 52 on County Road 46, making it within an hour and a half drive from all of southeastern Minnesota. In addition to our collaborative work within the county, we have been talking and working with the Minnesota Department of Public Safety and the Federal Bureau of Investigation about some exciting possibilities for co-location and collaboration. We have a letter of support from the Metropolitan Emergency Services Board recognizing our facility would serve both regional and statewide needs. We have the land and the fiber optic lines have already been laid. The economic stimulus of this investment will be significant. We estimate our center will create about $6 million in payroll for construction jobs with 300 to 400 on-site and a number more if you include the design professionals, quality control and assurance professionals, delivery drivers, and many vendors associated with such a project. If the investments we make help to attract an FBI regional forensics laboratory to the site, between $4 and $5 million of federal funding would become available. In summary, our proposal is for a 50,000 square foot facility to create a unique center for advanced technology applications for criminal justice systems based on coordinated services and partnerships. I think you can agree this is a well-designed proposal that not only addresses the needs discussed in the 1999 study, but also includes many of the citing and collaboration recommendations. As I said, we are ready to go. The investments can begin to be made quickly, and the economic and public safety benefits realized. We respectfully request your support for our proposal. And I'll turn it over to Sheriff Goodmanson.
Thanks, Commissioner. Welcome to our committee, Sheriff.
Sheriff Don Goodmanson from Dakota County. I've been in law enforcement for well over 30 years in places like Detroit, Michigan, actually rural Fillmore County. And while technology has changed all of our lives, it certainly has changed our lives in law enforcement. The operations we would do in Empire Township would have our Criminal Justice Information Integration Network, which we call CGIN, which is already up and running in our county. CrimNet gave us a small grant. We have it up and running. We have 750 users on our CrimNet. And it can use not only in Dakota County with the police agencies. Already, Bloomington and Hennepin County has 20 officers on our networks, and they will expand to all of their officers. This could be used in Olmsted County, could be used by the Minnesota State Patrol, could be used by Carver County, could be used all throughout the state. Let me give you an example and some examples of what we do. Here's an example. Most officers, when a shift would start now, let's say at 4 o'clock, will go into a police department and get briefed about all of the activities that happen overnight or maybe for the last couple of days. Officers today go right to their car, turn on the car, the computer starts up, and they're briefed online. They'll find out, was there any missing persons, any stolen cars, any people that we might be looking for. And then as the shift would progress, that information is, again, instantly available to everyone. Here's a couple other examples. En route to the sheriff's office or to the jail, the arrest report is already at the jail when the officers get there. So they aren't standing there and being inside of a jail for hours maybe, and they can go right back out. It is entered once, and then it fills all of the other fields, if you can imagine. Here's one that may sound not a big deal, but for those of us in law enforcement, no, it is a big deal. Tow companies, we got to get cars towed. Here's how we do it in Dakota County. The tow information is entered in the computer in the squad car, sent electronically to the tow company. All of the information they need is given to them. The clerks do not have to re-enter data. It's entered once. We enter the name once, and it fills all the fields. Prisoner information, warrant information, jail information, including the photographs of everyone who is in jail, is already online. Here's one that is really unique. If the officers in Lakeville make an arrest overnight, they do not have to drive to Hastings to bring all of their reports. Their reports are sent electronically to the county attorney. We do about 4,500 forms, which used to be had to be filled out in paper, are now filled out electronically. High-risk probation people, also online. High-risk juvenile offenders, also online. Court orders for orders for protection, orders for harassment, online, electronically. And what we're saying is that we're communicating in real time. We communicate in real time, and we can send this to people who need it. One of the things that we can do is add additional officers in this world, but we can't do that anymore. What we need to do is to add technology to make our officers more efficient and more effective. And the proposed center attacks a core fact that computers and high-tech devices such as PDAs and cell phones are used in crimes. So far since January, we have 9 cases involving computer crimes, but it involves 24 hard drives. Some of them have a terabyte of information. A terabyte of information is a trillion bits of information. Most of those cases involve child pornography. So one of the things that we would propose at this site is that officers, prosecutors, defense attorneys, and judges know little or nothing about computer forensic types crime. We would intend to train at this site. The dispatch center, which is a consolidated dispatch center of 6 PSAPs now into one, and there are other counties have been trying to do this for years, and we did this in less than a year, and it is up and running. We would propose also to train dispatchers at the site, which is something that has never been done throughout the state. This is it has both regional but statewide interests. It can be anything that we've done in CGIN can be used in CRIMNET. And they, in my view, have been floundering. They need to get up and running. All they need to do is come down and take a look at what we're doing and replicate that. And it can be done in our county or any other county or city throughout the state. The cost of a squad car today is one cost. The same cost goes inside in the technology inside of a squad car. Costs exactly the same today. And so I think this is a wonderful opportunity to put technology. It's not about guns and self-defense, those kinds of training centers, which I know are important. This is about the crimes of the present, but the crimes of the future, identity theft, wealth, white-collar crime, fraud. This is the kind of crime that we intend to help others throughout the state in training.
Thanks, Sheriff. Questions? Senator Ingebretson.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you for the report from both of you. I might just add, I've known the last presenter for some years, and he has a very notable distinction of being one of the few sheriffs in the state of Minnesota's history that's been a sheriff in actually 2 counties, so being for an elected position, that's quite a feat. A real professional. When you talked about photos online, sheriffs have been looking for that for years. Photos of booking photos. Can you tell me, are those participating agencies only, Sheriff? And the other question is, you have 6 PSAPs all combined into one. What agencies were there, and how did that go about?
Sheriff Goodman.
The first, let me give the PSATs are Burnsville, Eagan, Apple Valley, Lakeville, West St. Paul, and then the Sheriff's Office. So all under one umbrella now, and it's operating under joint powers. And this is something, frankly, that came from the legislature and talking about, making services more redundant, not having everyone doing the same thing. Several years ago, I remember being down here and hearing that discussion, and that discussion produced one PSAP. Now, Senator, you can actually go to the Dakota County Sheriff's website and see a photo, if you're a citizen, and see a photo of everyone who's in custody. It'll give you the photo of everyone who's in custody, and it also will give you the statute. It'll go to the site. We're the only county in the state that does this. Everyone is online. Who's interested in that? Probation, obviously. Police are interested. Judges, defense attorneys who are trying to track. And as you well know, occasionally some wife is looking for the husband or the boyfriend out there. And that is online at our sheriff's office. Those photos are available in the car to the officers. And it's amazing.
Senator Foley.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Sheriff, I'm pleased that you've narrowed the PSAPs from 6 to 1. That is an object of mine for the last 25 years.
Yes.
But a couple things I want to know about. One would be the 800 megahertz. Is this likely to cause someone else to be dragging their opportunities to go forward with it? I know that there's a staged system there, and are you going to jump from one to a more advanced stage?
Sheriff?
We're already on 800 megahertz, Senator, and so we'd anticipate that Scott County will come on. Scott County Chief Deputy, retired, is here today. They'll be on soon. Goodhue County is expected to also come on, and all that will do will be enhance the communications throughout the South Metro all the way through to Olmsted County, who's already on. And we found already, for instance, that troopers are responding on 52 to an accident injury. Our officers are there and able to talk to the troopers and say, are you 5 minutes out, are you 10 minutes out, those kinds of things. Already huge advancements in our use of the 800 megahertz. And I do recall, my conversations with you over the years about bringing dispatch under one umbrella. And this was done without any problems. It was done very, very well and without any political problems or any others.
Madam Chair.
Senator Foley.
I guess I'd like to praise Anoka County because they, in fact, have a one county dispatch system and had it for more than 20 years. And they certainly continue to lead in many of those things. So I do want to recognize that. But more importantly, you were making some comments about photos and other data. And I've been on the CrimNet task force for a considerable number of years, and I'm interested in making certain that we comply with all the data privacy legislation, and that the one thing is you put something in the file on a picture or data, and it never goes away. People that are competent are able to extract that, and I guess I don't want somebody to have names and pictures and other data in their records, which are available to a whole series of people. The end result means perhaps with the unfair treatment of it. And we're in this committee, and others are going to deal with the collateral consequences of these things. But having that in mind, what kind of things are you putting in place in order to control access to that information?
Sheriff.
That's a wonderful question, observation, and we work with our county attorney staff every day to make sure that we're not putting data out there. In addition, one of the things we talked about earlier, that we do stuff in real time, and so that someone who's booked in real time is out on the network. When they are out of jail, that in real time they are taken out of the network. And we have, you know, very good security for our other data. We would not want to do that. That your observation is correct, and that we do not want to stigmatize anyone for being arrested for years and years and years. It is real time. Who's in custody right this moment? You know, I'd like to, you know, be, this is outside of this, but, you know, your interest over the years, we'd love to have you come down sometime and take a look. And we worked with Anoka County as we put our dispatch center together.
Thank you very much.
Sure. Sheriff, I have a couple questions. Where is your existing facility? Is it on this campus on the little map that we have here?
The Sheriff's Office, of course, and jail is located in Hastings. And this proposed site is where what we call the DCC, the Dakota Communications Center. And that is at Highway 3 and County Road 46. It's in Empire Township, but just south of the city of Rosemount. And the county owns 80 acres there. The county shop is also on that site. And so that our vehicles are also maintained on that site. And so that this center could be co-located, in fact, with just a hallway onto the Dakota Communications Center.
And the Dakota Communications Center is existing?
Yes, it's okay. Been up and running since the end of December.
Right, and if I may add, Madam Chair.
Senator Dahl.
Part of this is with the CGIN. There's about 17 different locations where the computer systems are located. We're trying to, for redundancy purposes and the like, we want to be able to house these at one site as well. There's some massive mainframes that need to be, you know, up and running and maintained, and so that we don't see a failure in the system, we need to have a central location. That's one of the primary purposes for this facility.
Okay. And so your request is for $6 million in bonding, and I see the total cost for the package is about $15.5 million. Dakota County will pick up that other $10 million. Okay.
Yes.
And you said you're ready to go?
Yes.
Okay. Senator Ingram.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just one quick question, and maybe somebody already talked about it. How many people are you currently serving now? How many people with your dispatch center and everybody? Well, give me a rough guess.
Sheriff?
Senator, if you're talking about population, we would serve a population of just under 400,000. And on our CRIMNET, we have 750 users on the CRIMNET computer networks.
Senator Latz.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The sheet that we have here talks about potential partners, and that's quite a list. Could you tell me what the current partnerships are that are already committed to be a part of this project?
Commissioner? Madam Chair.
Might have said it before I walked in. I apologize if you did.
Madam Chair, Senator Latz, right now we have a partnership with the 11 major cities within the county in our Dakota Communications Center, as well as our CGIN project. We have a support letters coming from all 11 cities, and through our high potential partnership, which is what developed the Communications Center, that steering committee has formed support as well for this project. The study for this project came through that high performance partnership process where participants from all the cities and the county studied the issue, looked at what size facility would be needed, what the components would be, what should be housed there. All of that came through that process. So we've had all those partnerships already established and joining us in this this program that we're proposing today. In addition, we've been talking with the Department of Public Safety as well as the Federal Bureau of Investigation. They currently are looking for a funding request to house a forensics laboratory in the state and are looking for a location for that should the federal funding come through. And because of our interest in having the technology components and assisting the sheriff's office with the technological impacts of forensics at that location, it makes a very good place to co-locate with the FBI. So we're interested in having them come in as tenants and also working with the Department of Public Safety. So we've got local and hopefully state and federal partnering with us.
Okay. Chair, if I might add, Senator Latz, that the city of Bloomington is also very interested and ready to tap into this system as well.
Any other questions? Senator Dahl.
And there's one other thing that came to my attention just a minute ago. We at the House hearing last night on this bill, there has been was an increase in the overall this package with some adjustments that were made from our original request, and they made an amendment on the House side to up to $7.8 million. So it was a 50-50 split with the overall costs, with Dakota County picking up the other half. So I don't know how that would be handled, but that just came to my attention.
Any other questions?
I don't know if we can, if that's something we would do an oral amendment to, or yeah. How we would.
Do you want 7 point? How much?
7.8 million.
Senator Ingebretson moves that on line 1.8 of the bill, 6 million turn into 7.8 million.
1.14 as well.
Say it again.
Line 14 as well.
And line 14 as well. Okay.
Madam Chair, if I may,
Commissioner.
The 50% match that Dakota County is putting up does not include the price of the land that we already own. So if you look at the entire package, we're putting in more than 50%.
Okay. Even at the 7.8?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Senator Ingebretson moves those two changes. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Adopted. Okay. Thank you all very
thank
much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members. Thank you very, very much.
Welcome, Senator Metzen. I assume you live in Dakota County?
This is down our way, so.
Okay.
Give it its blessing.
All right.
Did you bring any candy?
Yes. Yeah. We go ahead and pass it.
Well, sorry.
Exactly. I should have said we had a quorum. We already had a quorum. That's on the record today.
A little late, but candy. Right. One of those cakes.
Yeah, I've got one. Yep. Members, the other item on our agenda today is talking about our ranking sheet that we're going to send off to the bonding committee. And I've prepared a kind of a chair's recommendation, and I'll put it out to the committee for discussion, and and we'll see if you all kind of agree with what I thought made sense. We split it into two sets, the corrections proposals and the public safety proposals. I don't really think it's fair to pit our two major departments against each other for our bonding proposals, and so I'm hoping that we can send the two together. And then within those two sections, I ranked them high, medium, and low. And I'll just start at the top. The corrections items, there were four that were in the governor's recommendations. I ranked three of them as their highest recommendations. And then, sorry, Commissioner, but I don't like the Shakopee fence any more than Senator Foley does. So I put that in the low category. The other two items, there were the asset preservation for the Oak Park Heights fence and the Red Wing Vocational Ed building, which I put the two of them in at medium. And those, I believe, were about the as far as I can tell, those that was the package of DOC proposals that we had before us that we had any hope to do. I know there's another $200 million in asset preservation, but we just know that's not happening. So there's no sense in trying to fool ourselves, I don't think. The Department of Public Safety proposals were I think, a lot more difficult. As we tried to figure out whether there should be a network of training facilities around the state, I found that the map that Ms. Maslowski made for us the other day was very useful. And some of the proposals got put in medium or low pretty much because of their proximity to other proposals that were maybe more ready to go or were already existing. But I put at the very top the state EOC. We're in real trouble if anybody actually ever figures out where it is and goes after it. So it's a small amount for their pre-design, but I thought that just mm-hmm. we need to deal with that. Senator Foley.
Madam Chair, I disagree with you. The public safety is currently located in downtown St. Paul for the benefit of those that aren't familiar with it. And frankly, I don't see any likelihood. It all relies on what the federal government is going to do and where you're going to locate it. But the only thing that I would see taking on would be something to do with the site location. And so you have an idea that it's going to be at this location or that, whatever it is. There are not a lot of properties in if you're going to stay in the core city here that I would think that the proposed site at Arden Hills is available. In my mind, you could do that there without disrupting and relocating people and businesses and so forth. So with that in mind, would only see funding for site location and no design or anything else.
Well, Senator Foley, I think they have a long way to go before they get to a point where they're designing a building because they, like you said, they don't have a place. But I think the federal guidelines show us that it should not be downtown. It should not be in a building that is with a parking ramp right there. It should not be with high rises surrounding it. It's in a place that, according to federal guidelines, it has no business of being. So I think we need to look some long term about where it goes, and give them, this is $500,000. It's not exactly like it's going to do anything. Yeah. but it is an acknowledgement that they need to go find someplace else. And
I don't disagree with you. I've been involved with that. I remember doing some plans for the state as many as 35 years ago, and it's one of those things that the federal government talks about these things, but they're not great on funding them, and that.
There is that.
With the absence of funding, we're never going to accomplish anything.
Okay. Well, anyway, that's my proposal, is to put them in the high category. Along with the only Tier 3 training center that we had under discussion, and that's the Camp Ripley Public Safety Training Center. I think it makes a lot of sense to have a facility here in the state on land that we already own and have under control, and that can be used by every agency in the state or beyond the state, as far as that goes. If North Dakota and South Dakota want to come and train there, that'd be great by me. And so I put that in the high category as well. I do see the sense of having a system of training centers around the state. Those are the regional tier twos, and all the rest of our proposals, or most of the rest of our proposals, were tier twos, with the exception of a couple of tier ones. So I put the Olmsted County Southeast Minnesota Public Safety Training Facility in the high category. and Marshall. Those two are, I think, Marshall does something that, as far as I can tell, they don't train about anywhere else in the state, and that's the ethanol plants and the wind turbines, how to deal with those. So that made some sense to me. And then I put the Minneapolis EOC in as high as well. The EOC, the existing EOC in the sub-basement of City Hall suffers from pretty much all the same things that the state EOC suffers from, except it's about the size of our table here. That one I thought had good merit because we have land. We have eight or nine acres, whatever that is, in Fridley that the existing fire training center already exists. And that was a combination that I thought was a good one. Then I had four proposals that I put in the medium category, the two crime labs that we heard from, Anoka and Minneapolis, the Grand Rapids Public Safety Training Facility, and the Annandale one. And Annandale got put up there just because it's so cheap. The others I ranked in the low category. Those are the two proposals that were Tier 1, and then the Scott County Training Facility. And then we have to decide what we want to do with the Dakota County one. So that's my proposal, and I'll throw it out to you for comments, changes, questions, and if you want to move anything around, we can have that discussion. And at the end of our meeting today, we'll, I hope, come to some agreement on this list, and we'll send it off to Senator Langsa. Senator.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Can anyone tell me again that $5 million for Camp Ripley, how that works with the federal dollars also, and how much federal dollars was coming in? Was it $15 million or something? How much?
Is there anybody here? Yep.
I have to go through my notes.
Commissioner Leslie is here. He can do
federal dollars.
Welcome.
Right, Madam Chair, members, I think the question was federal
Would
dollars.
Can you introduce yourself?
I'm sorry.
Please.
Yeah, Tim Leslie, Assistant Commissioner, Department of Public Safety. And I think the question was federal dollars related to our proposal. We cannot use federal dollars to build buildings, no bricks and mortar, but we are looking at applying for federal dollars for infrastructure, video, downlink, cameras, televisions for the training center, things like that, if that's possible. And Chris is here and can probably go into the weeds faster with those kind of details than I can. But we are leveraging the $19 million that the federal government is getting for Camp Ripley to build their city. And so that's the federal dollars we're leveraging.
Okay. Thank you. Any other questions, comments? Changes. Okay, then let's go with this one.
Madam Chair.
Senator Ingram.
I'm just not finding the Department of Public Safety's, Madam Chair, pre-designed for the...
The EOC, right at the top.
Yeah.
It's right under your left thumb.
Mm-hmm.
He just doesn't support it.
No. I'm wondering about the forensic... the needs for the forensic, is that included in here, BCA?
We didn't have a forensic.
There was no
proposal.
Request there. No. It was just the report that we received.
Right.
Okay.
Was there? I think there was.
Yeah.
It was just a report.
Just the report.
Okay, just the comments in the report. Yep. I'm reflecting on it,
yep.
Apparently. No. Okay, thanks.
And remember, we funded a dozen or so forensic scientists in our bill that we passed last spring. So... But we didn't have a bonding proposal from them. Senator Rosen.
So, Madam Chair, can we campaign to have one of them, the rankings? Is that what we're supposed to do? If we feel like one should be higher, we can say that? Or
higher
are we
or
going
lower?
To have a private
Right out here in front of
Right here,
of us.
God and everybody?
Yep, God and everybody.
Well, I guess I would campaign for the Anoka County Regional Forensic, and not because of the candy, but they have...
Always good.
I think that the service that that they're going to provide for that area, the relationships that they've built between the tri-counties, the possibility for more relationships. It sounds like they have been at this at a very long time, and they have the backing of all these different collaborations and the counties, and I know that it's probably not, there was basically no comment coming from the department, but I do think this is, out of all the forensic laboratories, this is one that I would like to see ranked higher.
Okay. Other opinions on that? Senator Foley.
I would be supportive of that. I think that you've got a situation where we really are have backed ourselves into a corner because we've never provided adequate scientists to staff the BCA facility in St. Paul and also the one in Bemidji. And this group has got things lined up, and they're ready to go forward. And while I am not sure that determining locations has been completed and we know what we want, the sad part of this is kind of after the fact, and we probably would be better off deciding the locations around the state, and then having done that, and set up where we're going to put those labs. But be that as it may, we recently completed the siting element part, but not in a detail that is helpful to locate there. And so I would support that as a high-level priority.
Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Excuse me, I would too, and I failed to ask the group there the other day. Maybe somebody can help me with the numbers that are going to be deflected from BCA by having this system set up in Anoka County. Do you remember any numbers at all? They're going to be, as Senator Foley said, are going to be taken from the BCA lab. In other words, reduce their workload. I just think they have really done an excellent job there in collaboration with three counties, that as well as Dakota County. I mean, Dakota County had a tremendous proposal, but I would like to see that one higher, and I would like to move up to the Department of Corrections and start at the low one, if I might.
Do you like that fence?
Huh? I do like that fence. I really think that that's something that we, if not this year, I mean, we really should be paying attention to that. I think that's a real serious X situation could happen there. And I'm not sure how much we're talking about it's going to cost. I don't know. I haven't heard any preliminary figures.
$7 million.
Okay.
The proposal before us today is a little over $500,000.
For pre-design. And
pre-design.
Whatnot, yeah.
It's kind of funny, you know.
You know,
a $7 million fence is a lot of fence.
Madam Chair,
it has to be better than
sure
the one on the corner. But
in the light of the fact that this is in a residential area, and the fence, in order to just put a fence in there and make it halfway fit in with the environment, that you have to spend quite a lot of money. I note that in one of their samples they had those steel bars that...
The wrought iron.
Yeah, and that might be the type of protection you'd have. So if you're going to do it, why, you probably need some level of funding in that. The one thing I wanted to ask you was we had this Annandale facility, and that I was under the opinion that there was a fair amount of use of this facility by people from other areas, and a rather unique thing. Having that in mind, I would like to move that up a notch.
Okay, so. Let's deal with these one at a time, because my brain's not big enough to do it otherwise. Starting with the Anoka Crime Lab. Is there any more discussion on the Anoka Crime Lab moving up to high?
might as well just vote, I guess. All in favor, please say aye.
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 Opposed? NOCA goes to high. I can just see us at the end of the day, we're going to have everything at high.
Well, I don't know about that.
Okay, then I think the other one that Senator Foley just talked about was Annandale. And that's basically not even $200,000, but it was pretty specific training, if I remember right. It's this one. Remember. Okay. So that's that one. And so we have discussion on this item. Senator Burgley.
Well, Madam Chair, it's not really on this item, but generally on these training facilities. And, you know, I agree with your recommendations, except that I'm wondering why Grand Rapids is medium instead of high. I mean, when I look at, you know, that it's, even if we do get Camp Ripley done, they're still, they're 105 miles from Camp Ripley. And, you know, Olmsted County is only 77 miles from St. Paul, so,
okay.
You know, it just seems to me that if we are talking about developing a regional presence of these training facilities, that it doesn't look to me like there's one in Duluth at all, and so this would be really the only one serving kind of the northern part of the state. And I realize that we're, of course, Senator Rosen is from rural Minnesota, but we are tend to be kind of an urban-dominated division. Mm-hmm. So that would be my suggestion.
Well, they do kind of stick out up there in the map, you know, that north of Ripley for sure. Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Madam Chair, I think these are the requests, aren't they? Because I know Duluth does have a very large training center up there for emergency.
Well, Duluth does have a training center?
Yeah,
okay.
In fact, I think...
Well, I thought the existing I thought they were all marked if they were already on here.
I think these are the ones that were presented. Yeah. I might be wrong on that.
Well, that isn't too helpful then, is it?
No, it's really not.
Of course, it confirms what? Oh, okay. Yeah, these are just the ones that were proposed
so
to us.
So is there something in Duluth? Mm-hmm.
There's a big one in Duluth.
It's been there for quite a while, yes.
And so how far is Grand Rapids then from that one?
80 miles? 100 miles?
I don't think it's that far.
Probably
it's not even that far.
50, maybe.
Okay, well, then I withdraw my comment.
Okay.
What other facilities are in existence that aren't on the map?
Senator Ingebrigtsen, do you know where else we have
training
facilities?
No, I'm looking here, and I
don't know that there are a whole lot more. Is anybody?
Is there anything in St. Cloud?
Michelle Leslie, do you know? Do you know where the existing training centers are located that are up and going these days?
Madam Chair, members, Tim Leslie, Department of Public Safety. All I know off the top of my head is the ones that have been funded by bonding in the last 8 years.
Okay.
I do know that there is a training center in Duluth, but it's not been supported by state funding. It as I recall, it's a place where they train for airplane crashes. And it's referred to in the 1999 study as something that should be acknowledged and used as needed for a training center. I'm not sure what they do in the region, if they go there much. I've never had that conversation with any of the Northeast region.
Okay. And Minneapolis, St. Paul, Scott County, Edina. I know there was an Edina one somebody talked about.
Correct. Edina received $500,000 in, I think, 2003. And they have a collaboration between the cities of Bloomington, Edina, Eden Prairie, all their police departments, all their fire departments. And then they share the operating costs between those three communities. And then I think the airport police department goes out there and trains as well.
Okay. Do we have anything in Willmar or any of the kind of the regional centers?
Hutchinson received $240,000 in the year 2000, but I believe it's an emergency operations center style setup.
Okay.
It's not. I'm not sure if it's a training center, actually.
Okay. Thanks.
You're welcome.
Senator Latz.
Madam Chair, I'm not sure how this will work procedurally, but I feel like I'm being asked to kind of design a statewide system on the fly here. It seemed to me that it would be, we'd be better served if the Department of Public Safety would come to us with a, here's a map of existing facilities for training, and here's a map of proposed facilities for training. We've got gaps here geographically that need to be filled for this particular type of training, and we've got overlaps there. And we recommend that in order to get a completely built-out system, we need to fill in these gaps here and there. And then we can look at the proposals in that light and say, are these proposals filling the gap or aren't they? Mm-hmm. Instead, we're just kind of piecemeal looking at proposals that we know about without even having a full picture of the puzzle that we're trying to put together. And it doesn't seem to me like it's a good way to plan to spend $46 million with another $22 million. Fails.
Well, unfortunately, you know, we aren't asking the Department of Public Safety to tell us how to put this whole thing together. It's kind of been up to us. We got reports from, you know, the two reports that were issued, and they basically said, yeah, we need 8 or 9 of these around the state. And we've gotten these proposals. Now, we can, you know, we can mark a whole bunch of them high or we can mark a whole bunch of them low and say, I mean, the fact of the matter is I don't know how much money we're actually going to get out of the bonding bill for public safety. You know, the map that we've got, I think, gives us a pretty good indicator of where they are. You know, you can make a circle at Duluth, you can make a circle at Edina, and one at Hutch, and then I think there's the map.
But so, Madam Chair, I think that's true. But we this is a preliminary thing, and the thing is going to go to the full committee mm-hmm. after that. And I guess our duty at this point is merely to rank them out as best we can, so mm-hmm. that they're familiar. And I don't think we have to do that as if this were life or death. And just good enough to.
Yeah, and, you know, even putting together the network of these training facilities will take us years if we do it through the bonding proposals, you know, because there are just so many competing interests in the bonding committee. So I think, I'm sorry it didn't get put together the way that you would have liked to have seen it, but what you got is what you got, unfortunately. We have to send this off to the bonding committee at the end of the day today. So,
Madam Chair, and I agree, we're kind of on a time constraint here, but I also agree with Senator Latz that perhaps the role of this committee can be for the future. This is the first time I heard about the Hutchison site. Now, can that be expanded to a Tier 2 training facility? And, you know, what do we have available already in the state for future needs that we can expand upon, or and just look at exactly where we are spending the money and how we can utilize a little bit better. I think that's something that we could start to ask information to be fed to us so we can work on this through the years. Yeah. We have a long time.
Yeah, I think that, you know, if we're lucky, we'll get one or two of the training centers funded in this bonding bill when push comes to shove. So. Mm-hmm. It might get us a start. And you know, and part of what I did by putting Southeast Minnesota and Marshall on the high category is that they're existing facilities and they just wanted to expand.
I think we're going to be looking at, Madam Chair, the this group and What is going to make a difference is the fact that we, in part, are going to have to make a decision that will likely be funded by the governor, because if we can't do that, why, we're not going to go out. So I'm reasonably certain from discussing with the chairman of the Committee on Capital Improvements that there are some things he knows that we're going to end up doing if we have a bonding bill at all. So with that in mind, I think we should go forward with the recommendations that you have, and once we've decided those, submit them. I think you did a good job.
Thanks. If we chose to in this committee, we could set up a working group or, to look at the locations and see what kind of training facilities we're missing throughout the state, and look at the geographic issues. And I'd be willing to be a part of that if anybody else would be interested in that too. And that would give us a plan in going forward as well.
Mm-hmm. Right. I think.
Other people interested in that?
Yep.
Senator Latz, would that be something that would... Okay. Senator Ingebrigtsen?
Sure.
Okay. I think that we will put that together. And, when I think that we're kind of still in the second week of session, it's kind of funny to think about here we are, putting a zillion dollars worth of bonding proposals out of our committee already, but such is the second year of the biennium. So we moved Anoka County up to high. I think Senator Berglund's got the right idea about Grand Rapids serving a third of the state that isn't served now. We could move that up to high if anybody wanted to. We still have outstanding issues on Annandale, and we have to decide what to do with Dakota.
Madam Chair, I still like the Annandale one, and it's a cheap one, too. So
all right.
I would move that up.
Senator Foley moves that Annandale would go up to high. Discussion? All in favor of Senator Foley's motion, please say aye.
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 All in favor say no. Or all opposed say no.
No.
No. It passes. It goes to high.
Madam Chair?
Yep.
A question about
Senator Latz.
Yo.
Yo, yeah.
For the Dakota County proposal, I'm trying to recall how regional that is in comparison to some of the other proposals. It's clearly within the county of Dakota, and it's got a lot of partnerships within the county. I didn't hear any partnerships already arranged outside of the county. I know some of the other proposals here were multi-county proposals or anticipated reach well beyond the county in which it was located.
I noticed that, too.
Gathering this correctly?
If we go back to our tiers 1, 2, and 3, in my mind, I was thinking it was a tier 1. Did anybody get the idea that it was a tier 2, multiple jurisdictions, multiple counties?
Madam Chair, it seems a little bit...
It
seems like
really,
it's covering a little bit different,
little different.
Scope of,
yeah.
of what it, the services it's providing, but it all seems to be focused within Dakota County.
Yeah. With the idea that if other people wanted to join them, they could, but they didn't. Well, they didn't have those set up at this point.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Madam Chair, my name is Jack Dittmar. I'm the Director of Operations Management and Budget in Dakota County. In terms of cooperating people outside the county right now, we're specifically working with the City of Wilmington to roll out the criminal justice information integration network with them. We've had discussions with counties ranging from Olmsted to Carver about providing the services of the CEGIN network through that. As the commissioner and the sheriff indicated, we are in discussions with the Department of Public Safety and with the Federal Bureau of Investigation about the possibilities of partnering with them. Do we have signed agreements in place, Senator Latz? No, we do not on those initiatives right now. We do have the Metropolitan Emergency Services Board that has said that they see this as a very good training site for a regional initiative. So we do see it as both serving the state, serving the region, and having those kinds of partnerships. Our view is that this is really more of a specialized training facility that I think falls into your Tier 3 categorization. That's our perspective on the project.
Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just one question. If Bloomington were to go with you and merge with you, what would you What kind of a pail of money would you expect them to bring to the table then? Is that a fair question?
Chair and Mary Sikvenik, our director of our CEGIN program, can tell you what our financial arrangements are with Bloomington.
Welcome, Ms. Sikvenik.
Thank you. Mary Sikvenik, CEGIN manager for Dakota County. We actually have agreements with Bloomington that are waiting for signatures in the Bloomington side right now that will give them access to some of our CEGIN applications. One in particular is field-based reporting. The cost for that for them will be, there's initial cost, and it'll be about $23,000 for Bloomington this year. There will be an annual fee of about $10,000. It's charged out by user plus some ongoing network fees and maintenance fees into the future. In Bloomington, we have 20 users right now today. About April 1, we'll go to the full department, which will be about 130. Following Bloomington, we've had St. Louis Park and Golden Valley, Minnetonka, the other Hennepin cities are waiting to see how Bloomington goes, and then we would expect to see some more rollouts over there as well.
Okay, Senator Ingersoll.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So there's no capital dollars coming from these cities at all to help with the projects at all then?
Senator, Madam Chair, there is no capital dollars. This is going for our ongoing application development. Again, think of this as software. We have developers that are ongoing development and maintenance costs for that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks. So we really can't compare Dakota County's proposal with the other ones at all. So, okay, somebody want to suggest where we put Dakota County? For purposes of discussion, how about medium?
Medium,
yeah, medium sounds
good. Medium, okay. Okay, so what do we have outstanding? I know that Deputy Commissioner, Assistant Commissioner Christ wants to try to get us to see the error of our ways about the Oak Park height fence. So if Assistant Commissioner wants to come to the table, there he is. Welcome.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is David Christ. I'm an Assistant Commissioner with the Department of Corrections. First, Madam Chair, I want to thank you and the committee for considering all of our binding requests, including them all on the list. I want to speak in favor of raising the Oak Park Heights perimeter system from medium to high, if I might. In 1982, the perimeter at Oak Park Heights was considered state-of-the-art. In 1989, as we were building the Rush City facility, we made a strategic decision within the department that all of our perimeter systems should be maximum security, regardless of what level security that perimeter was protecting. So our medium security facilities all have maximum security perimeter fences. Our close custody facilities all have maximum security perimeter fences. That's the last defense between our facilities and the public. We think the public expects and deserves that they're going to have a maximum security perimeter between as the last defense between the inmates and them. In the case of Oak Park Heights, the perimeter system is now 28 or 26 years old. We are keeping it working with baling wire and bungee cords. I'm sure you've heard that before. But some of the hardware is available to fix that fence, but the associated electronics aren't available anymore to fix that fence. We've got two sets of spare parts that we rotate through the system when things fail on that perimeter, and at some point we're just not going to be able to fix what those parts are replacing and what those electronics are replacing, and there's no place to go to get those parts anymore. Another part of this proposal would enable us to enhance the perimeter lighting. The lighting on the perimeter is inadequate. It's too dark in many places and just doesn't do the job anymore. The camera coverage, we've got a 1 mile of perimeter there that uses five cameras to cover 26 security zones. That's far below the industry standard for covering zones. And the razor ribbon at the top of that fence system is becoming brittle and breaks with the weight of the snow and the ice. So what we're at risk of here in the next two-year cycle is that this system will fail and the department will wind up with a maximum security prison that doesn't have a maximum security perimeter any longer. And with those comments, I would just ask the committee to consider moving this from a medium to a high priority.
Assistant Commissioner Christ, has anybody ever gotten out of Oak Park Heights that shouldn't have?
No.
Madam Chair, no.
Has anybody ever gotten in that shouldn't have been in?
Madam Chair, no.
I think the... I don't really like prisons, so I can't say if there's something I like about the prison. But one of the things that I think is so interesting about the Oak Park Heights prison is the design of it, so that even if you could get out, it doesn't get you anywhere. It gets you into the center of the prison. So I understand that you want a perimeter fence. I understand that it's old. But in trying to rank all of our various proposals, since you have an existing fence, and since nobody's ever gotten out, nobody's ever gotten in, I thought medium was a good place to go for that, and then, 2 years from now, when your other ones are on their way, then that one can rise to the top. But that was my thinking in putting that in a medium. Our two law enforcement folks over here probably think very differently from me. So, Senator Foley or Senator Ingebretson?
I would agree with what you
originally said.
Our opinion, and I think the issue there that this the institution at Oak Park Heights is the nature that ought to have the highest and best quality thing, and you can make the thing and cut down the fencing at Shakopee or do some other things around in the correction system, but I really think that this deserves funding.
At the high level rather than the
at
medium
the
that
level.
I put it at?
Yes.
Senator Ingebretson? You're not going to get into that.
Okay. Yes, I will, Madam Chair.
All right.
Thank you. I have to echo that same thing. And if I had a choice, and I know there's quite a difference in comparison between dollars here, but... absolutely, this one over Shakopee, no question about it. Because these people are these people are not the ones you want to get out. And that's a huge responsibility that we have to make sure that they stay there. And 26 years old is a lot of time. I mean, that's.
Assistant Commissioner Christ, if you had your choice between Oak Park Heights ventilation and Oak Park Heights perimeter, which would you take?
Madam Chair, members of the committee,
and don't say both.
I would swap the priorities on those two, Madam Chair.
Okay. Then that's what I will propose, is that we swap the priorities on the two Oak Park Heights. We'll put the fence at high and the ventilation at medium, unless anybody has compelling arguments against that.
Madam Chair.
Senator Foley.
When you raised the issue of the fence, the ventilation on that, is a mold problem?
Madam Chair, Senator Foley, yes. Mold, mildew, that is being transmitted throughout the facility.
Madam Chair, how long have you known that that's been a hazard?
Madam Chair, Senator Foley, we have suspected the problem for, trying to do the math in my head. I left Oak Park Heights as an associate warden in 1993, and at that time we were doing the initial testing in finding some positive results for mold and mildew back in 1993. We've been working on the project since then in bits and pieces, and it's down to replacing the ductwork that contains some of the mold and mildew and is transmitting it throughout the facility. We've already replaced drywall walls and things like that where mold has been growing in the walls.
Has it been on your list of requests since
the 90s?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, we've been doing a lot of the work internally up to this point. I believe it was on our bonding request for last year's bonding bill. And before that, I'm not certain whether it was on the list or not.
Okay. All right. I know. See, you know, there's the problem is that it all needs to be done, with $200 million in other stuff in the correction system.
Well, the reason I look back at my suggestion that we go to the high end, and then the commissioner here wanted to change that, but I look at people that are locked up in an environment that is dangerous, and that includes the staff, and we can't afford to have people sick and die because of our negligence.
So we just mark everything at high and send it along?
I frankly would reverse my thing and leave the ventilation on high and put the fence at a lower level than that.
Okay. Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. One quick question. Kind of on the same line of Senator Higgins, how many people have been reported sick and how many doctor bills and how much have you spent on the mold? Again, I'm very concerned about that as well, but have you seen it to be a medical issue so far?
Commissioner?
Madam Chair, Senator Ingebrigtsen, we have predominantly with staff. I don't have a dollar figure, but we have paid out some workers' compensation claims as a result of the air quality in the facility.
And I think I was right originally. Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So, such as we are doing right here, once again, I need to know your preference. You'd still exchange the fence for the ventilation, or?
Madam Chair, Senator Rosen, I would still swap the fence at high and the ventilation at medium. The ventilation project is one that we would attempt to nickel and dime throughout the course of the next 2 years and might be able to make some progress at that, more substantial progress than on the fence system. The fence system is hard to nickel and dime because you have to have one security detection system around the whole fence. It's hard to do part of it and have part of it that is inadequate. So I would still raise that to high and put the ventilation at medium, and we would attempt to work on that with whatever resources we had available to us, including the emergency asset preservation funds, if it came to pass that we had no emergencies.
Okay, members, what do you want to do?
Well, Madam Chair.
Senator Rosen.
Madam Chair, there's 8.6 in the emergency needs for asset preservation. Perhaps bump that up or do something, and they could nickel and dime this ventilation issue until the next bonding request, and perhaps we can do it there. But I do think the fence is more serious.
I'm waiting to be enlightened by the other members. What do you want to do?
We can change these numbers. Change the numbers.
Can we change the numbers? Mm-hmm. Well, the asset preservation number, you know, can go up to $200 million. You know, that was the unmet need. So.
Great.
The fact of the matter is, we're not going to get that.
That no.
So, or we could just specify that the first item to be done in the asset preservation is the Oak Park Heights ventilation.
Right.
You know, take a couple of million off of the asset preservation. Or
very good resolution to that.
Madam Chair.
Senator Latz.
I think it's Senator Foley used the term, it's rank negligence for the state to subject its employees to a known environmental health hazard without mitigating it. The fact that this has been a known issue since 1993 just stuns me. And the fact that it hasn't been a priority either in bonding or in regular budgeting just to get in there and finish the fix. You know, if a private building owner acted in the way that the department has acted with regard to this, there'd be lawsuits up the wazoo over this thing. I'm shocked we haven't seen lawsuits yet, except maybe because it's under the work comp system. But this is just shocking to me, and it needs to be done. And I mean, I would take it out of the other emergency asset preservation money and just shift it in to the ventilation system and get that finished up. Although, unless we've got an absolute commitment that it's going to come and be spent in it from another part of the department's regular budget to be taken care of in the during this time period. But, you know, we're dealing with a zero-sum budget. Someone's got to set priorities. And the fact that we've got staff, I mean, we've got employees, no matter what you think about the health of the criminals that are there, and they're human beings too, but the fact that we are knowingly putting state employees, law enforcement officers, every day they walk into this facility at risk for their long-term health or lives just shocks me. And that's what this kind of infestation does.
Sure, it's all hung up, though, in workers' comp, so you don't know about it.
Well, and we've got the knowledge and the ability and have had it for sounds like almost 15 years and haven't fixed the problem yet.
Okay, let me suggest this. Let's keep the ventilation problem at high, because I think Senator Latz is right. We've got state employees that we're treating badly because of this, and, you know, you've been lucky if it's only been a little bit of workers' comp, because what we know about mold and mildew and, you know, histo whatevers, that needs to get taken care of. And that's a fairly new building compared with, especially with the one down the road a couple of miles. So I think that ventilation thing better stay on high. I don't know what to do about the fence. I think I was right leaving it in medium, but I'll leave that up to vote of the committee if that's what you would like.
I would defer that to the medium myself.
You keep that at medium now?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Are you all right with my leaving the ventilation at high?
Yes.
Okay, that's back at high. The perimeter fence.
High.
High.
Senator Rosen wants it to be at high. All in favor of Senator Rosen's motion to move it to high, please say aye.
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 That's two. All opposed, say no.
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 Okay, it will stay at medium.
It's a low, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Madam Chair.
Okay. Yes, Senator Rosen.
I'd like to talk about the Marshall Emergency Demerit Program.
Uh-huh.
And you have that at high. And I was just going back and looking at their handout, and I'm just having a little problem with some of the funding, where the funding is going. Where did I see that? I think it was $700,000 for a new classroom facility.
Well, the total's only $975,000.
Yeah, I know, it's $975,000. But I'm just looking at the proximity to Olmsted County, and this is probably where we should look at the bigger picture at some point in this committee next year, whatever. But I'm not quite sure what Hutchison does. This is the first time I've heard about Hutchison.
It sounded like it was more of an EOC than a training center.
Excuse me?
It sounded like the commissioner said it was more like an EOC than a training center.
Okay.
So they probably don't conflict much.
Yeah,
I didn't hear the Marshall proposal because I was over in state and local. So, mm-hmm. I did that just kind of based on the map and the stuff.
Well, Madam Chair, as far as the map, it does make sense. The ethanol fuel training area, and I come from ethanol area, and I'm thinking, okay, a lot of that can be handled in another facility that's already set up.
Okay. There's another ethanol training facility?
No, there isn't. Okay. But I just have a lot of questions about whether we have to have something specific for. I wish somebody was here to answer that. And a classroom facility. What exactly for $700,000 does it fit?
Okay, so Senator, would you be more comfortable moving that to a medium?
Medium, I would, yes.
Discussion on that? On Senator Rosen's motion to move Marshall to medium. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? That passes. That's a medium now. Okay. Do we have it? Senator Letts.
Within the various categories is the order in which they are listed, the priority that you're proposing, or the within each category of high, medium, and low, are they just listed alphabetically?
I think I lumped them. I did lump them as opposed to putting them in priority within the category.
And how is it that we're anticipating the Capital Investment Committee then will make prioritization decisions within categories? Assuming dollars are limited and they're only going to be able to stick within the high categories, if they have to make choices, what kind of guidance are we going to provide to them as to what our priority recommendations would
be? Well, in the public safety ones, as I said, I thought the EOC, state EOC, was important. And it's $500,000, so I put that at the top. The next proposal was the Tier 3, the statewide Tier 3 facility, and the other two are, Tier 2s with good matches, both of them. So that's
Anoka.
Of course, we've added Anoka and Annandale.
And we added Anoka and Annandale. That's right. I'm sorry.
Right.
Okay.
How did we get Annandale?
Well. Is everybody comfortable with my one and two at least? Because we could number them, I suppose. That would make some amount of sense, at least for the highs or for the even the public safety one. I think the EOC and Ripley are. I think we should.
Madam Chair, I'm comfortable with those two ranked one and two.
Okay. All right. I think really strongly about the Minneapolis EOC. And I'm sure if Senator Lynch were here, she'd think just as strongly about the Southeast Minnesota one. So,
Madam Chair,
mm-hmm.
I think if you just replace Anoka in the Marshall
and just move them up.
And just go 1, 2, 3,
in the
four,
order
five.
That we've got them.
Right.
Okay, let's do that. So we'll rank them 1, 2, 3, 4 as we have them here. Anoka and Annandale become 5 and 6, and that'll get us through the highs.
Madam Chair,
mm-hmm.
For the record, if I could just go back to the Shakopee fence, I just want to say I'm in support of that. But that's just for the record.
Okay. Have you been out to visit there?
No, I have not.
Sometime, when you've got some time to do some travel, talk to Ms. Cox in the back of the room and go out and visit the facility. I think you'll find it really interesting. I think you'll probably also find it really interesting to see the houses that are right across the street that would be looking at that fence and I'm sure they also look at every day how safe are we. So, that's kind of the issue that they're faced with out there, and it's not a new issue for us. But I think you'd find it interesting out there.
I would.
Senator Bertha.
Madam Chair, I've been out there several times, and of course it used to be in my division, so what I can tell you is that is it possible for somebody to escape and do something? Of course, but they have a very high rate of compliance with the programming among the women out there, much higher than they do among the men. And so even their clients that are receiving mental health treatment, very high rate of compliance. And, what the staff tells you is that the women want to improve. They're not there just to do their time. They want better lives when they leave. And, Oak Park Heights has a fence around it, and there's contraband in the bushes there, too. Okay, so a fence doesn't mean those things don't happen. And so I don't know, in terms of all of the priorities and needs of the state, I just, you know, if we had all the money in the world, fine. But since we don't, I just don't think it's as high a priority for me as some of the other things that we're talking about here.
To be continued, I'm sure, in future years, as we, you know, I know the DOC will be having conversations with the neighbors and trying to figure out a solution, and, you know, this would give them, you know, some planning money. They can do a lot of planning without a whole lot of money, I think. Conversations are cheap, and, you know, maybe they'll come up with an answer that we haven't even thought about yet. But
moat.
A moat. There we go.
Madam
now
Chair,
we have the answer.
If I could just make a comment.
Sure.
There's no question about it. I sat on a committee there, and it's just amazing to me that the when somebody does go from there, they're very easy to find because they always go home. So you're right. It's just amazing. Those that when there's trouble at home, that's where they run off to. That's where they escape to. And it is a different prisoner. There's no question about it. But someday I'm afraid something might happen. But that can happen, I guess. So.
Well, to the DLC folks who are here, we appreciate all the work that you do to keep Minnesota safe. And, you know, if it were up to us, you could have a whole lot of the bonding bill. But there are $4 billion in requests for less than $1 billion worth of money that we can spend. And as you do every day, you have to prioritize how much money you have and what you can get done with it. And that, unfortunately, was what we had to do today, too. And so,
Madam Chair, and members of the committee, we appreciate your support and understand the difficult job that you have to do. Thank you very much.
Thanks. Senator Rosen.
Madam Chair, I'm sitting here thinking, you know, maybe I should have rephrased this a little bit different on this Merit Center in Marshall. I'm having problems with the $700,000 for the classroom facility. But perhaps if there was $200,000 that could be diverted for a ethanol fuel incident training area because of all the ethanol and biofuel, and it really should be called more biofuel with the biodiesel and all the other ethanol plants that are going up, and that would be utilized by Iowa and South Dakota. Perhaps that's something that we could change. And I guess I would like to change my vote for Annandale, which is close to $200,000, $164,000, to divert it to a biofuel training center for
but
Marshall.
We don't have a proposal for that.
You have to keep it to the proposal?
Well, kind of, yeah. I think you do. But I think it would be worth having a conversation with Senator Frederickson, who I suspect is on the bonding committee.
Yes.
That maybe his proposal needs to change to a smaller amount and a more defined thing. And I'll leave that to you to have that conversation with him, and he can try and facilitate what he can try and facilitate when it goes off to the bonding committee. That might be the...
Can we re-vote on the Annandale?
We can do whatever we want. We haven't closed it up yet.
Madam Chair, I know Senator Berkman would like to vote on that, too.
Okay. Right now, we have the Annandale Center at high. It was medium, and we moved it up to high. Now, Senator Rosen would like to move it back down to medium. Am I right in that?
That's okay, Mills prerogative.
All right. On Senator Rosen's motion. All in favor of moving Annandale to medium, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
No.
Okay. It's back down at medium.
Madam Chair, I can just say, you know, I'm looking at everything that's, you know, 60 to 70 miles away from something else, and I'm thinking, you know, if you're over 100, that's a higher priority than if you're, you know, 60 to 70 miles away from something.
Madam Chair and Senator Berglund, I think that's fine, and I like the idea of determining locations and having appropriate distances between them. But my recollection of this particular request had the city of Annandale dealing with national people coming in and doing it. They had a very specialized unit, and I think that with what they're doing and how they're doing it, that it's a worthwhile venture and one that ought to be well served by this committee.
Madam Chair, it seems like it's a unique type of training center also in Annandale. From what I gather, it's not replicated in any of the other training facilities that are identified here. My recollection may be wrong on that, but it sounded like certainly that's the way they were characterizing it, which is why I think they had such a large number of places from Wright County. I know Golden Valley and St. Louis Park are listed as having used the facility, to Moorhead Police Department. Milwaukee, Wisconsin even came there to use this particular facility. So I would, for what it's worth, I would change my vote with regard to re-ranking Annandale and Marshall.
It still has enough votes to leave it at medium, but so noted. Okay.
Madam Chair, one last question. Did we rank order the Department of Corrections high categories as well?
We didn't, but I suspect that if we put them 1, 2, 3 just as they are, they're probably good to go. I think the Faribault expansion is their top priority, I would assume, if somebody will nod yes or no.
Mm-hmm.
And then Oak Park Heights ventilation next, and then asset preservation coming right along with it. So I think if, unless otherwise noted, we'll have Mr. Turner put them in that way. Okay, so the only one that we haven't really talked about that's it, and Senator Berglund reminded me of it when she said something was more than 100 miles away. Does anybody want to move Grand Rapids to a high? No. Okay, good. Would somebody like to move the recommendations as we have done them?
Well, Madam Chair, I do have a question about Alexandria, the Enforcement Center.
Alexandria.
Alexandria
has gone to the Higher Education Committee.
That's on the bottom.
Because that actually belonged over there because it's a Minsky facility.
That's what
we sent it off to
Senator
Pappas's
office. Okay, it says that right there.
So that's where that means. Okay? Somebody want to move the proposal?
Just one more comment, because I'd really like to be here a lot. Thank you, Madam Chair. My recollections when Senator Rosen was talking about the ethanol training, I think that is the only ethanol fire training center they're talking about in the state of Minnesota. There is a difference between ethanol fires and regular fires. That just finally came back to me, so I think it's a good idea to have that.
Yeah.
We have 17 plants and 5 more coming. And then we,
so, Madam Chair, where did we put that now? I can't remember.
Where
is that back?
Be Marshall, and it's a medium. And you were going to go talk to Senator Frederickson about refining his proposal and doing what he does so well in the bonding committee. Okay. All right. Senator Rosen, would you move the? Senator Rosen moves the spreadsheet as we corrected. All in favor of that motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Adopted. Let's see. Ms. Seufert made me an end of meeting announcements list here, so. I sort of think, and we've had some discussions in our office, we don't have any money. And so we think that it's probably raising false hopes to people to hear proposals from them to spend money when we don't have any. So we have given our meeting time and location to the Judiciary Committee, because they have like 8 million and 12 proposals that are all policy. And so if you serve on that committee, you'll be spending a lot of time during this time slot doing judiciary issues. And if we have things that we need to get back together to talk about, the deficit and what we're going to do with it, or any of those kinds of things, or if some money appears and we get to, you know, spend it somehow, then we'll get back together. But at this point, stay tuned, but you, unless you're on the Judiciary Committee, you have a nice little hole in your calendar right now.
Thanks
where this time slot would be. Wow, Senator Ingebrigtsen's really unhappy.
Gil and I are going to be spending more time.
All right. Thanks, everybody.
Yeah.
And we're adjourned.
All right.